Ag Council.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
I hope you had a great weekend. Today is President's Day, which has traditionally been celebrating the birth of our very first president, George Washington, which is February 22nd. And now we celebrate that on the third Monday of the month, which happens to be obviously today, February 18th. And a lot of people kind of threw Abraham Lincoln's birthday in there as well. He was born on February 16th, or no, not the 16th, February 12th. But some states, interestingly enough, like Alabama, do not include Abraham Lincoln when they're doing President's Day for what should be obvious reasons, if you know your history, because, well, Abraham Lincoln was the president of the Northern aggression, right? So you've got the civil rights, interesting right here in America, how that still goes on. So I'm going to talk about that, and I have some tremendous quotes and things that George Washington has said, including one of the prayers from his handwritten prayer journal that I'll get to. But I wanted to spend a little time talking about Jussie Smollett. You may be aware of Mr. Smollett, who is an actor in a series called Empire, African-American man, happens to be openly homosexual. And so it came out last month, late in the month, that he claimed at about 2 a.m. in Chicago, whilst out getting a Subway sandwich, why a fairly successful actor would be doing that, I have no idea, gets accosted by two men who he then claimed it was a hate-filled, homophobic, racist attack by people that were also claiming to be shouting things about MAGA. This is MAGA country, that, of course, meaning make America great again, which means, of course, they're Donald Trump people. And, of course, Donald Trump people are going to accost a gay black man because, well, 2 + 2 = 4, even if you use Common Core math. So that's kind of how that's played. And then I think there's some valuable lessons here for us. This is not dissimilar from Brett Kavanaugh. It does not matter. Go all the way back to Clarence Thomas. And it's the seriousness of the charge. It's not facts that matter here, you close-minded jerks. It's the seriousness of the charge. And so the left, of course, dives on it. So we had Brett Kavanaugh, an attempted public lynching of Brett Kavanaugh. And then you had the Covington Catholic schoolboys on the day of the March for Life back last month in January in Washington, D.C. And the liberal media runs with it because it's a narrative that they want to be true. A bunch of white Catholic religious MAGA people going after Native Americans. Oh, perfect. Oh, it fits the narrative perfectly. We're going to get all over this. Brett Kavanaugh, white Catholic, nominated by President Trump, who's the biggest homophobic racist in the history of mankind. And so, of course, he nominates somebody like Brett Kavanaugh. Of course, the guy is a chain rapist, yada, yada, yada. And then in this case, you get a little bit of a reverse with Jussie Smollett, who is obviously liberal, and comes out and claims that it was some MAGA-wearing people that attacked him. So not just racist because he's African-American, but homophobic because he's gay. And so everybody jumps on it. So I'm going to play. This is from a website that's kind of they do kind of an aggregator. And this is a clip. This is a bunch of liberal media outlets just totally jumping on this bandwagon. And again, right now I'm putting all the spotlight on the liberal media. We can be guilty of this. People on the right can be guilty of it as well. But that's not very prevalent. It is major league prevalent on the left. And so as soon as it's because it fits their narrative and it fits their worldview, this is called confirmation bias. And without all the facts at all and without any investigative journalism, which is for the most part dead, they just totally dive in on this, okay? So this is just a conglomeration of how the left media reacted.
Beaten with a noose around his neck and hospitalized, Empire star Jussie Smollett was the victim of a vicious, racist, and homophobic attack.
His attackers hurled racial and homophobic slurs.
Two people yelled,
racist and homophobic slurs.
Racial and homophobic slurs.
Not only homophobia, we're talking about racism. We're talking about hate with steroids.
They are looking for two suspects who were apparently wearing Make America Great Again hats.
The offenders uttered, "This is MAGA country."
The hate crime went down early this morning in Chicago.
Officials are investigating the alleged assault as a hate crime.
And now police say they're investigating this as a possible hate crime.
Anyone attacked in a hate crime like this is an outrage.
This is stomach-turning, mind-boggling information. It's out of control.
Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi tweeting, "The racist, homophobic attack on Jussie Smollett is an affront to our humanity."
And Senator Cory Booker said, "The vicious attack on actor Jussie was an attempted modern-day lynching."
Kamala Harris calling the attack an attempted modern-day lynching.
"But I'm so shaken by the story. This is horrible to report. This is a horrible story. This is a horrible story."
Yeah. I mean, the circumstances are just horrific.
Horrendous and unacceptable.
Absolutely despicable.
Yeah, a lot of people can't believe this is actually happening in 2019.
It's hard to believe that we're reporting, that we're even saying words like this in 2019. Mm-hmm.
Mm. And this is America in 2019.
Now, the funny thing about that, which is kind of funny and kind of sick all at the same time, okay, is the fact that what they should be reacting to with that type of visceral reaction, that this is America in 2019 and this is actually happening and that we have to report on this and this is a crime against humanity and a terrible thing. I can't believe that we have to report on this. What a horrible thing. What they should be talking about, of course, is abortion. That's what they should be talking about. They should be talking that way about the New York law. They should be talking that way about what's happening in Virginia, that they want to endorse, embrace, light up the town pink to celebrate the fact that we want to allow abortion right up till the moment of delivery. That's what should be getting their angst and their fire and their moral outrage. But of course, it doesn't. They support it. They celebrate it. They fund it. They champion it. They protect it. No, in this case, it's MAGA hat wearing people yelling, "This is MAGA country," which there's like four of them, four MAGA hat wearers in the city of Chicago. So apparently half of them showed up, but these guys ended up being from Nigeria. And because that's the MAGA wearing thing and it's anti-black and anti-homosexual, perfect, totally fits the left narrative that all conservatives, especially white Christian conservatives, hate black people and hate homosexuals. Perfect. Fits the narrative. So now what's happening? Now that, they're all backing away and now Smollett refuses to go meet with the police. The police are like, "Yeah, the direction of the investigation has changed. These two guys from Nigeria, money exchanged." Holy cow. A little bit more on that when we come back. Welcome back. Happy President's Day, which is really a celebration for the most part of George Washington. We'll get to our first president here in a little bit, just continuing our conversation about this. Really a great case study in what's going on in our country right now as we look at Jussie Smollett, who's the actor from Empire, which I don't even know what that show is. That's not one of the things that I watch. Democratic politicians are backtracking. This is Fox News. From their initial comments about what was originally described as hate crime against Empire actor Jussie Smollett, after a Chicago police spokesperson said over the weekend the trajectory of the investigation shifted and they no longer consider Smollett a victim in the case. Oops. When the incident was first reported last month, Democratic presidential candidate Cory Booker called it an attempted modern-day lynching. But on Sunday, Booker told reporters he is now withholding comment on the case until after all the information actually comes out from the record sources. Oh, well, so we should actually hold our comments before we get some facts. Wow. That's exactly the type of person I think should be the next president of the United States. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi on January 29th tweeted that the racist homophobic attack, based on what? Based on what Jussie said, okay, against Smollett is an affront to our humanity. Of course, killing babies up to the point of birth is not, right, Nancy? Ms. Catholic? That's not an affront to our humanity. But this apparently set up attack is. But over the weekend, Pelosi's tweet had been deleted. Apparently, facts still trump feelings. Smollett, who is black and openly gay, has claimed he was attacked by two masked men early on January 29th as he walked to his Chicago apartment from a Subway restaurant. Smollett alleged the men shouted racial and anti-gay slurs at him. Last week, Chicago police questioned two Nigerian brothers in the reported attack but released them Friday without charges. Police spokesman Anthony Guglielmi said the pair had been given officers information that had shifted the trajectory of the investigation. Local reports have cited sources saying the attack was a hoax, though the Chicago Police Department has not confirmed that. He's got a couple of lawyers for himself, Jussie Smollett does, and the Chicago police want him to come in, but he shows no interest in doing that at this point. And so you had, like we played and showed you in the first segment, you had all the liberal media jumping on it, acting like it's the most horrific thing that's ever happened, because killing babies isn't. And so all their moral depravity and their lack of moral fortitude at any level, because they're so off on the issue of life, is just fully on display. And he was on Good Morning America, you know, with what might probably be crocodile tears. And everybody's just weeping over this because, of course, it's Trump people, MAGA hat wearing people that attack this poor gay black man, which totally fits the narrative of that's what Trump is. That's what you are if you're a Trump supporter. And so they jumped all over it. And you will not hear them walk back this. This won't get walked back much at all. They go ballistic at first. It fits the narrative. It cements the left further in, which the warning for the rest of us, if you're not a member of the left, I'm not, obviously. But for the rest of us, we're in a culture that shoots first and asks questions second. And especially if you name the name of Jesus, as I name the name of Jesus, we're supposed to be people of truth, not people of emotional, being overwhelmed emotionally when it fits our narrative. And this is what happens with social media and with Facebook and Twitter, that we retweet and we repost and we share without really reading and without knowing all the facts that are true, that we actually just kind of, that stuff just, we live in this huge media tornado now. And one little thing gets thrown into the tornado like a 2x4, all of a sudden becomes a trajectory that can take out a bunch of people, and then it's everywhere. Although I shared something on Facebook earlier today that, and if you want to join us on Facebook Live, just go to the Steve Noble Show page on Facebook Live. We're live 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday. Some of you hear the radio show in a delayed fashion, but if you want to join us live in the studio, just go to the Steve Noble Show on Facebook. And I shared a stuff about where most people get their news, and it's the mainstream media, the big three networks on television, if you even know they exist anymore. People that are under the age of 30 don't even know what that is. ABC, NBC, CBS, what? But not that many people are getting their media from any of those sources. But right now, because it's such a tornado, you get one little story like this and it goes everywhere. And then they play it up. The left media grabs on it. It becomes a fact right from the get-go. And they trust one person, Jussie Smollett, who obviously has an agenda. And it's against Trump, and it's against religious people, and most likely white people, and anybody that that supports Trump. And it just fits the narrative, and they go ballistic. So for all of us, especially as Christians, we need to remember that truth still trumps everything. Sorry to throw his name in there, but we need to remember that. But Al Sharpton's about the only one right now that's backing it up. And I think that's probably from Tawana Brawley. He's been kind of beat up in the past for walking down the road of a false claim. And so he came out recently and said this. This is Al Sharpton doing a little CYA and protecting himself. Okay, here's his quote. And I appreciate that he did it, but the reason behind it is probably just playing the media game. If it is found that Smollett, I don't know how he pronounces it, and these gentlemen did in some way perpetrate something that is not true, they ought to face accountability to the maximum, Sharpton said. Let us get to the bottom of it and let justice be done, no matter who is right or wrong. Well, yeah, as a justice warrior, you'd like to think he would have led with that, as opposed to assuming what Jussie Smollett said was absolutely true. So the left is going to just let it kind of die off, as hopefully Jussie Smollett is going to be dealt with by law enforcement for perpetrating this whole thing, which looks like it's all going to be a setup. For what? What would drive him to do it? His career is about to go out in the tank. The Empire show is about to get canceled. You want to get more followers on Twitter, more people to like you on Instagram, and more people following you on Facebook, which is just idolatry. And now everybody goes for that. Do whatever it takes to increase your social media. They call them social media influencers. I'm like, who are they really influencing? Really? Because you take pictures of you and your wife and your kid who's 4 years old and is a dancer, and you get 2 million followers and 4 million followers and 8 million followers, and the social media world calls them social media influencers. And I'm like, in what direction are they influencing? What are they actually influencing us to do? Anything worthwhile? It's crazy. So we'll keep an eye on the Jussie Smollett thing, but you're not going to see the left walk it back. They're going to, because the damage has already been done, they think, to Trump, to religious people, to MAGA hat wearing people. And it's just one more shovel full of dirt in the grave of Donald Trump. That's what they're hoping. So when the facts come out and overpower the emotions, and the truth is actually there, that most likely Jussie Smollett set the whole thing up for his own personal advantage in some way, you're not going to hear him talking about it at all. Because there's definitely no way they want to take one shovel full of dirt off the grave of the potential grave, future grave of Trump's presidency. So that's where we're at as a country, but let's make sure we all pay attention to the facts and not get overwhelmed by our feelings. Okay, let's spend the rest of the show talking about George Washington. I'm done talking about all the goofballs in current times. I'd rather go back on President's Day and look at George Washington. Federal holiday was established by Congress in 1885, which started as a celebration of founding father and the first U.S. president, George Washington's birthday. Washington's birthday was first recognized only as a holiday in Washington, D.C., but was later expanded to the rest of the country. The first president was born in Virginia on February 22nd, 1732. So what's the deal with it being on a Monday? Because his birthday isn't till Friday, right? A day after mine. Hint, hint, wink, wink. Thursday, February 21st, a day that shall live in infamy, and Friday, February 22nd, George Washington's birthday. Why on Mondays? Because the Uniform Monday Holiday Act, of course, 1968, they moved all federal holidays to Mondays. Why? So that working people like you and me could get a three-day weekend, although here I am in the studio working. Although I don't consider pretty much anything I do working, because I love everything I do, and hopefully it glorifies God and blesses you. This is Steve Noble. More with George Washington when we come back right after this. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you today. Tomorrow, I'm looking forward to a conversation with a disabled veteran who's also an evangelist. We're going to be talking to him during the show tomorrow, and then we'll do a Money Monday update at the end of the show tomorrow with David Fisher, because today is President's Day, which a lot of states celebrate generally President's Day. Some states focus on Washington and Lincoln. Alabama, for instance, Washington and Jefferson. They're not celebrating Abraham Lincoln's life and his birthday on February 12th in Alabama today for what should be obvious reasons, because he was the president of Northern aggression, right? So they just don't. And some states don't do a holiday at the state level at all. It's a federal holiday, but on some states, they don't do it at all. There's a few states that don't do it. Delaware doesn't do it. Florida doesn't do it. Iowa, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, they don't observe anything today. It is a federal holiday, but it isn't for them. North Carolina, where I'm at today, not an observed holiday on the North Carolina government calendar. They don't deserve it. Not deserve it. They don't observe it. Rhode Island, they don't do it either. Anybody else? Wisconsin, they don't do it. Everybody else does President's Day. Some do Lincoln and Washington. Alabama does Washington and Jefferson. So interesting to look at how it's handled around the country. But originally, and still today, the number one reason we celebrate President's Day is because of the birth of our first president, George Washington, who was born on February 22nd. Okay, so that's this Friday. So some things about George Washington. I've got some fantastic quotes from him. Some of his quotes about God's providence. This one is fast. I don't know if you've ever seen this before. So in 1891, a manuscript of some of his favorite prayers written in his own hand was sold at auction. And so you don't know if George Washington, who was 20 years old at the time, when this was found, was authored all of these, or if he just copied them from another source. But eventually they were put into a book called George Washington, the Christian, which was compiled by William J. Johnson. So I've got just an example. This was his Monday morning prayer in this book. This is handwritten in his handwriting, okay? Handwritten by George Washington, his Monday morning prayer. Then I'm going to share some of these quotes about him recognizing God's providence, which is a big deal, central, really, to our founding fathers. And then a couple excerpts from his inaugural address, 1789, which was in New York, and then his farewell address. His farewell address came several years later, 1796, and some really powerful things that he has to say in his farewell address that are still valid and worthy of our consideration and attention today. So I'm going to share a lot about George Washington with you over the rest of the show. But check this out. Our very first president, boy, do we need some of this these days. This is his Monday morning prayer, word for word, written in his own hand. O eternal and everlasting God, I presume to present myself this morning before thy divine majesty, beseeching thee to accept of my humble and hearty thanks that it hath pleased thy great goodness to keep and preserve me the night past from all the dangers poor mortals are subject to, and has given me sweet and pleasant sleep, whereby I find my body refreshed and comforted for performing the duties of this day, in which I beseech thee to defend me from all perils of body and soul. Pretty good start. Wow. Direct my thoughts, he goes on in his Monday morning prayer, George Washington, words and work. Wash away my sins in the immaculate blood of the Lamb, and purge my heart by the Holy Spirit from the dross of my natural corruption, that I may, with more freedom of mind and liberty of will, serve thee, the everlasting God, in righteousness and holiness this day and in all the days of my life. No wonder God blessed our country early on. Pretty amazing. Increase my faith in the sweet promises of the gospel. Give me repentance from dead works. Pardon my wanderings and direct my thoughts unto thyself, the God of my salvation. Again, this was handwritten. Again, they don't know if George Washington wrote this prayer or if he copied it down. But there was a book, his personal prayer book, and this is the prayer he did on Monday mornings. Teach me how to live in thy fear, labor in thy service, and ever run in the way of thy commandments. Make me always watchful over my heart, that neither the terrors of conscience, the loathing of holy duties, the love of sin, nor an unwillingness to depart this life may cast me into a spiritual slumber. But daily, frame me more and more into the likeness of thy Son, Jesus Christ, that living in thy fear and dying in thy favor, I may, in thy appointed time, attain the resurrection of the just unto eternal life. Sounds like Paul there. Bless my family, friends, and kindred. Unite us all in praising and glorifying thee in all our works begun, continued, and ended, when we shall come to make our last account before thee, blessed Savior, who hath taught us thus to pray, our Father. Wow. Okay, that's George Washington, the first president of the United States. That was his Monday morning prayer. And you can read several more of those. That was eventually reprinted in a book called George Washington, The Christian, by William J. Johnson. Again, they had found in 1891 a manuscript of some of his favorite prayers written in his own hand, which was sold at auction back then and then eventually turned into a book. Pretty powerful. So George Washington, Providence of God, which is a big deal in the history of our country. If you don't understand the providence of God, you don't understand the founding of this nation. George Washington and just about all of our founding fathers certainly understood this, okay? So here we go. Some of George Washington's thoughts about God's providence. This is from a Washington letter to Samuel Langdon, September 28, 1789. The man must be bad indeed who can look upon the events of the American Revolution without feeling the warmest gratitude towards the great author, capital A, of the universe, capital U, whose divine interposition was so frequently manifested in our behalf. Here's another one. May the same wonder-working deity who long since delivered the Hebrews from their Egyptian oppressors, planted them in the Promised Land, whose providential agency has lately been conspicuous in establishing these United States as an independent nation, still continue to water them with the dews of heaven and to make the inhabitants of every denomination participate in the temporal and spiritual blessings of that people whose God is Jehovah. That was in a letter to a Hebrew congregation in Savannah, Georgia. Here's another one, a letter to Reverend John Rogers, June 11, 1783. Glorious indeed has been our contest. Glorious, if we consider the prize for which we have contended, and glorious in its issue. But in the midst of our joys, I hope we shall not forget that to divine providence is to be ascribed the glory and the praise. The divine providence of whom? Of course, he's talking about the God of the Bible. A letter to Langdon Carter regarding American Patriots prisoners in the North, October 27th, 1777. I flatter myself that a superintending providence is ordering everything for the best, and that in due time, all will end well. Now, that's a great thought for those of us who are struggling with anything right now. Your health, your marriage, a wayward child, loss of a job, whatever. Just think about that. I flatter myself that a superintending providence is ordering everything for the best. Sounds like Romans 8:28. And that in due time, all will end well. One more. Private letter to Brigadier General Thomas Nelson. This is August 20th, 1778. It is not a little pleasing, nor less wonderful to contemplate, that after 2 years maneuvering and undergoing the strangest vicissitudes that perhaps ever attended any one contest since the creation, both armies are brought back to the very point they set out from. And that which was the offending party in the beginning is now reduced to the use of the spade and pickaxe for defense. He's talking about British soldiers. The hand of Providence has been so conspicuous in all this that he must be worse than an infidel that lacks faith, and more than wicked that has not gratitude enough to acknowledge his obligations. But it will be time enough for me to turn preacher when my present appointment ceases, and therefore I shall add no more on the doctrine of Providence. That's our very first president, George Washington. That was a private letter to Brigadier General Thomas Nelson, August 20th, 1778. Our first president obviously understood God's providence and God's hand. It was all over the founding of this nation. It was all over his life personally. And eventually it would be all over his presidency as the first president of the United States. And you see that to a certain extent. And then also one of the things that George Washington hated back in the day, which I share when I'm teaching my Foundations of Freedom class, which is a Constitution and Civics class for high school age students that I teach personally here in Raleigh, North Carolina, where I live. But we also have online now at the website, thestevenobleshow.com, is talking about kind of the background of President Washington and the fact that he didn't really want to be the president, but he served. And one of the things that he hated was the notion of factions, which today we would just call party politics, right? Factions. It was interesting that our founding fathers, in some ways, were a little Pollyanna-ish. They were a little, in many ways, and predominantly, they especially understood the depravity of mankind, that you have to split up power, that you have checks and balances. They came out from underneath the crown of England. They knew all about Europe and the history of Europe and the history of the world and the dominating influence of human depravity. They got that. But in some areas, they were a little naive. They thought, for example, that we could stay away from factions. But of course, as soon as the Constitutional Convention wrapped up and they put the Constitution out for ratification, then you get the Federalist Papers, the Federalists and the Anti-Federalists, just going at each other's throats in the newspapers. And then did you know this? That originally, what they wanted to see happen in presidential elections, do you know who the vice president was going to be? The second runner-up. So you get the president, and then whoever lost the election would be the vice president. So think about that in the modern context. Think about that. Think about that. President Donald Trump, Vice President Hillary Clinton. That was the original plan for the founding fathers in the Constitution, that the vice president of the United States would be the runner-up. Could you imagine that today? Wow. That's just too crazy. This is Steve Noble. More about George Washington when we come back. All my life I've been searching for something. Something never comes, never leads to nothing. Nothing satisfies, but I'm getting close. Closer to the prize at the end of the rope. Closer to the prize at the end of the rope. Perfected and brought home one of these days. That's up to the Lord, but that'll be true for all of us. It's appointed for men to die once and then face judgment. Are you ready? It's my question for you. Are you ready? If today is your last day, if you won't be tuning in tomorrow, and you die tonight, overnight, first thing tomorrow, whatever, are you ready? Because you still got about 76% of Americans, and I'm going to jump back to George Washington, our first president, and we're celebrating President's Day today. Hey, Kathy, and February 22nd is his birthday, but before I dive back into that, I want to read from his inaugural address, some of his inaugural address, and then I'm going to read from some of his farewell address. But do you know, 76% of Americans will still say, yeah, I'm a Christian. Now, that they're Christian by default in the American context. I'm not a Muslim. I'm not a Hindu. I'm not a Hindi. I'm not this. I'm not that. I'm not an atheist. I believe in God. I like Christmas and Easter. And that's the majority of Americans. Then they go by default, so that makes me a Christian, right? And you go, okay, well, that's great. What's that based on? And they kind of repeat that line. And then you say, all right, so if you died today, if you died tonight, if you didn't make it till tomorrow morning, would you go to heaven? And that's my question for you right now. Would you go to heaven? Because if your answer is, I hope so, or perhaps your answer is, maybe, or perhaps your answer is, I think so, You don't know what the Word of God says. The Word of God says that these things were written so that you may know that you have eternal life. That's not presuming on the grace of God. That's taking his word literally, because that's what he said. So that's my question for you. And then we'll get back to George Washington. Do you know that you know that you know that if you died tonight, after the show, tomorrow morning, that you would immediately go into the presence of the Lord? Because there's only one way to know that. Interestingly enough, my friend Paul Eaton from Harvest Crusades and Pastor Greg Laurie, Pastor Greg handles this really well. And he says, hey, when people say all roads lead to God, Pastor Greg would say, I agree with him. All roads do lead to God, but only one road leads to heaven. I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. So if you talk about heaven, when you die, going to heaven, if you have anything to do with it, you don't know what the Bible teaches. It's not by works, because you would boast. It's not by the works of the law. Galatians, Ephesians, it's all over the New Testament. It's not by works of the law. It's 100% Jesus. I get to the pearly gates, and I'm just using that as a visual. And if Peter's there, which I don't know why we think it's Peter, or why somebody's standing at the gates anyway, I go right into the presence of the Lord. That's what the Bible teaches. Hey, Steve. Oh, I'm glad you know my name. Hey, Steve. Do you want in? Yeah. I would be a little more, I'd probably be a little more obnoxious than that. Well, yeah. I'm that's my home. Yeah, let me in. Get out of the way. If they say, hey, why should we let you in? If you go for your resume, you're in trouble because you don't understand the gospel. I'm just looking around going, where's Jesus? Where's he's over there. Hey, I'm with him. That's why I'm getting in. Don't look at me. I've got nothing for you except him. I've got him. All my faith is him. All my eggs are in his basket. I've got nothing for you. It's all Jesus. All my faith is in him. He took care of everything. I accept him as Lord and Savior. I'm born again. I have his spirit in my heart, and it's all because of Jesus. That's why I know I'm going to heaven. If that's not your answer, if your answer is, I hope so, I think so, maybe, then send me a note on Facebook or go to the website, stevenobleshow.com. We actually have a whole page there about the gospel. How do people actually get to heaven based on what God's word says? Not what a church says, not what a pastor or a priest or a minister says, but what God's word says, because that is the authority. Anyway, setting that aside, George Washington. Okay. Let's go over to George Washington. This is in his inaugural address, okay? 1789, given in New York City. They took over the city. City Hall became Federal Hall. And this was he gave his inaugural address to just Congress. So the House and the Senate. This is down a little bit, but really important that we revisit this today on President's Day. Such being the impressions under which I have, this is George Washington, in obedience to the public summons, repaired to the present station. It would be peculiarly improper to omit in this first official act my fervent supplications to that almighty being, capital A, capital B, who rules over the universe, who presides in the councils of nations, and whose providential aids can supply every human defect, that his benediction may consecrate to the liberties and happiness of the people of the United States, a government instituted by themselves for these essential purposes, and may enable every instrument employed in its administration to execute with success the functions allotted to his charge, in tendering this homage to the great author, capital G, capital A, of every public and private good, I assure myself that it expresses your sentiments not less than my own, which I wish were true today, nor those of my fellow citizens at large less than either. No people can be bound to acknowledge and adore the invisible hand which conducts the affairs of men more than the people of the United States. Every step by which they have advanced to the character of an independent nation seems to have been distinguished by some token of providential agency. And in the important revolution just accomplished in the system of their united government, the tranquil deliberations and voluntary consent of so many distinct communities from which the event has resulted cannot be compared with the means by which most governments have been established. Without some return of pious gratitude, along with an humble anticipation of the future blessings which the past seemed to presage. These reflections arising out of the present crisis have forced themselves too strongly on my mind to be suppressed. You will join with me, I trust, in thinking that there are none under the influence of which the proceedings of a new and free government can be more auspiciously commenced. He's talking about the providence of God. A little bit further in his inaugural address, I dwell on this prospect with every satisfaction with an ardent love for my country can inspire. since there is no truth more thoroughly established than that there exists in the economy and course of nature an indissoluble union between virtue and happiness, between duty and advantage, between the genuine maximums of an honest and magnanimous policy and the solid rewards of public prosperity and felicity. Since we ought to be no less persuaded that the propitious smiles of heaven, capital H, can never be expected on a nation that disregards the internal rules of order and right, which heaven itself has ordained. And since the preservation of the sacred fire of liberty and the destiny of the republican model of government are justly considered as deeply, perhaps as finally staked, on the experiment entrusted to the hands of the American people. What's he getting at there? Where is the foundation for this whole experiment? It's the author and creator of all life. And you see that over and over and over again in George Washington's writings. In his prayers, like I read the prayer of his that he had handwritten earlier, and in his missives and his letters and his speeches, and to not acknowledge the providential hand of God is absolute foolishness and open rebellion. It is absolutely foolish. But that's where we're at in this country, largely. This is from his farewell address. Some interesting thoughts here about factions, about where we're at today, and how divided the nation is. I've already intimated to you the danger of parties in the state, with particular reference to the founding of them on geographical discriminations. Let me now take a more comprehensive view and warn you in the most solemn manner against the baneful effects of the spirit of party generally. This spirit, unfortunately, is inseparable from our nature, having its root in the strongest passions of the human mind. It exists under different shapes in all governments, more or less stifled, controlled, or repressed. But in those of the popular form, it is seen in its greatest rankness and is truly their worst enemy. The alternate domination of one faction over another, sharpened by the spirit of revenge, natural to party dissension, which in different ages and countries has perpetuated the most horrid enormities, is itself a frightful despotism. But this leads to at length to a more formal and permanent despotism. The disorders and miseries which result gradually incline the minds of men to seek security and repose in the absolute power of an individual. See, we gravitate towards that. It's really scary, very prophetic. And sooner or later, the chief of some prevailing faction, more able or more fortunate than his competitors, turns this disposition to the purposes of his own elevation on the ruins of public liberty. That, friends, would be tyranny, and that is where the country is headed. I don't care who's in the White House. The executive branch has gotten far too big and far too powerful. And you saw this with Obama in 2008 when he went to Germany. He gave a speech in Germany. There were 200,000 people that showed up. They would have crowned him king of the world at the time if they had the opportunity to. Why? Because we're wired for a one-person solution. Because there is one. Fascinating to me that George Washington is pointing this out. Before 1800, that as you get more and more factions, it gets deeper and deeper in this country, and some people will rise up. They'll be more able or more fortunate than his competitors, turns this disposition to the purposes of his own elevation on the ruins of public liberty. That is tyranny. That is where we're headed. Without looking forward to an extremity of this kind, which nevertheless ought not to be entirely out of sight, George Washington said, the common and continual mischiefs of the spirit of party are sufficient to make it the interest and duty of a wise people to discourage and restrain it. And what's the only restraint for that? The deep factions that we have today. That would be a common cause, a common understanding, a common worldview, which they had back then. There was a common biblical worldview. I'm not saying that they had common ultimate faith and allegiance to Jesus Christ, that all these people were born-again Christians, because they weren't. But they did have a common worldview and a common ascension to the truth of the Word of God. And we've lost that. And when that's gone, when a moral underpinning is gone, no longer available, you get nothing but moral chaos. You get anarchy, moral anarchy, then political anarchy and social anarchy. That's why he said, of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. In vain would that man claim the tribute of patriotism who should labor to subvert these great pillars of human happiness, these firmest props of the duties of men and citizens. He understood. Is the biblical worldview. And as we've moved away from that, the country has gotten more divided, more nasty, more insane. Pray for our nation. on President's Day and every other day, for that matter. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always said, ever forward.